I'm going to share a brief word with you. And the title of this word is manure. In the Bible, in Exodus chapter 29, verses 15 through 18. Exodus chapter 29, verses 15 through 18. Speaking to Moses, he says, "Take one of the rams, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head, slaughter it, and take the blood and sprinkle it against the altar on all sides. Cut the ram into pieces and wash the inner parts and the legs, putting them with the head and the other pieces. Then burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. A pleasing aroma. An offering made to the Lord by fire." Then, in Exodus chapter 16, just a few chapters back, verses 11 through 20, Exodus chapter 16, verses 11 through 20, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor." Thin flakes. "When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What was it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat,'" bread or manna. "'This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person,'" and omer just a measure of weight for 5 omer. Take a couple pounds of it, take a jar of it. "'Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.' The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much." Skipping down to verse 19. "Then Moses said to them, 'No one is to keep any of it until morning.' However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell." Say smell.
Smell.
Say smell.
Smell.
"It was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses became angry with them." I said the title of this message is Manure. Probably never heard a message with that title. I know I have not. Tell you a little story which happened to me recently. I was, Lord bless us, we have a yard that has a little bit of land with it. And so we have grass and all that we have to maintain. And as part of maintaining the grass, you know, much is given, much is required. Get a blur, you gotta do this, you gotta cut it, you gotta do all this stuff. And every now and then you have to also add some kind of nutrients to the soil so that it replenishes itself unless you leave the clippings there and all that kind of stuff. That's a whole other topic. But as we try to make sure that we are adding some nutrients to the soil, there's different ways to do this. And we want to do this organic way. So some stuff you can buy, this big bag of stuff you bought at the garden store. My wife loves the garden store. That's a whole other topic. So we had this big bag of organic stuff, which is basically, this organic stuff is basically corn. They found that corn has certain properties, and if they process it bag up, it's a nice organic way to go ahead and use all these chemicals that can hurt you. It's a big bag of stuff, and I bought these 6 big bags of stuff, and I didn't have time to put it down right away because I'm so busy with my clients and this, that, and the other. So there's six big bags of stuff which cost me a little bit of change. We're actually sitting outside, and I didn't get a chance to put them down because I'm going to get to it, but the kids and the work and the this and the that and the church, I'm going to get to it. So a couple days went by, a couple weeks went by, and this stuff is still sitting outside. In the meantime, it's been raining, the sun has been shining, and this stuff has been sitting outside. And these six big bags of stuff. And I noticed that after a period of time, I'm going to get to it. After a period of time, I noticed that flies are starting to hover around it. And as I get this, I'm throwing, stuff kind of smells a little bit. So I'm like, okay, I got to get this stuff out. So I finally found a weekend, whatever, to finally get it out. And I open these big bags, and I'm like, oh, this stuff smells. And which in some respect is good, because it you kind of say, okay, this kind of smells like, it's the word manure. And I look at the word manure. Turns out we think of manure as cow feces or animal feces, and that's true. Turns out manure can be not just animal byproducts, it can be a green manure, which is something that comes from vegetables. Basically, manure is anything you put back to the ground to provide it with nutrients and such. And so I'm working with this stuff, this corn, which is kind of a corn manure, and it's funky, right? And I'm like, oh, I gotta get this stuff down the ground, you know, to get it out so the flies aren't around it, and so I get this off my checklist. So I'm spreading it, and for this part, it's hard to work with because it's now been out in the sun, the rain is kind of chunky, so it's not as easily spreading all this. And so I'm spreading it around, and it's hard. I'm like, ugh. After I'm working for a while, I notice as I'm spreading around, it doesn't smell so bad. I'm like, okay, good. And so the more I work with it, I'll think, finally, you know, it's not smelling so bad. So I can get my job. And finally, I'm just about done. And it's not, and it's the smell is not bugging at all. It's not there. I'm like, phew. Yeah, I'm finished this, checking off, and the smell is gone. Taking care of that. Praise God. And right at this point, when I'm about done, smell is gone, it's all distributed. My daughter, Judith, 19, different topic, but stay focused. She looks out the window, she's upstairs, and she goes, Daddy, what's that smell? Are you spreading poop? And I'm like, what's that smell? What's she talking about? The smell is gone, I spread it out. And that's when I realized the smell had gone. What happened was I got used to the smell. And I looked up the smell. And the smell is actually called olfaction. That's the fancy technical word. And the mechanisms behind the sense of smell or olfaction is that odor molecules in the air breathe into the nose and they go into the nasal cavity. And there's this tissue, or epithelium, the fancy word for tissue, the olfactory epithelium, or the smell tissue. And the molecules come in and they sense what it is. And it's interesting that your olfaction, or your sense of smell, can actually run into a couple of different problems or abnormalities or issues. The first issue with olfaction or smell is something called anosmia. Anosmia, which is the lack of ability to smell. You just can't smell. There's a second condition called hyposmia, which is a decreased ability to smell. There's another condition called phantosmia. Phantosmia, like phantom. Which is a hallucinated smell, often unpleasant nature. You smell something that's not even anything there, but you're smelling something. There's something called diosmia, which is that things smell differently than they should. You smell an apple smelling like an orange. Okay? And those are all interesting, and we'll talk about those in a different message, because I don't have time to do that right now, because I only have a few minutes. But then the last condition, which is interesting, is something called adaptation. And what adaptation is almost in anosmia. Anosmia was a lack of ability to smell. But adaptation is when you have I'll give the actual definition. Smell adaptation. If you smell an odor for long enough, you eventually stop noticing it. This is because prolonged exposure to a strong smell saturates the olfactory epithelium, the smell tissues, with odor molecules to the point where information is no longer delivered to the brain. This is called adaptation. Loss in smell sensitivity can be temporary and can be recovered after a period of time. So adaptation is when olfactory adaptation or temporary loss of smell for a particular specific odor happens when you are overexposed to it. And I was thinking about that. That's an interesting physical phenomenon. That is just like in the spirit. We get involved in the lines with just what we were praying with about the teens. We get so accustomed to something that initially, because of our background, we might hope the guys, oh, look at that. Oh, that's a horrible thing. But as we get in it a little bit, it's like, oh, it doesn't smell that bad. You get a little bit more, well, you know, it has a little smell. You get a little bit more, it's like, wow, this is, oh, it has no smell whatsoever. This thing's actually pretty good. And we lose our sensitivity to it because we have adapted to that smell. Our sensory spiritual perceptors have lost their ability to sense the reality of that situation. We have adapted, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. And that's why it is important for us that we have to constantly cleanse ourselves. We have to constantly come back to check ourselves to see, where are we really? I think I'm pretty good, okay? I feel like things are okay. I smell okay to myself. But where are we really? One person said that when you look at the universe, there are several kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of glory and of light. There's the kingdom of Satan, which is the kingdom of destruction and death. But thirdly, there's the kingdom of man, or the kingdom of the earth, which is a kingdom of decay. It's not quite death. It's not quite glory, but it's decay. Because everything we have, if we're at this level, if I don't attend to it for a while, it tends to decrease, to drift. If I have a garden, if I don't tend to it, the weeds will tend to come in and clog it up. Everything in life, there's a process of synchronization or calibration which has to happen. If I have a watch from time to time, especially, I have to recalibrate. So, okay, my watch says it's this time, but is that the right time? So I have to call up the phone that at the tone of the time will be 6:32. Beep. And I look at my watch. And if my watch says it's 6 o'clock, it doesn't matter what my watch says. The phone has said it's 6:32. Beep. Your watch needs to be recalibrated. If I have a weight, a scale, and I'm measuring things, before I measure, I often have to recalibrate the scale. I take an item of known weight, 2 pounds, and I put it on my scale. If my scale says it's 3 pounds, and it's a known thing of 2 pounds of calibrated weight, I have to recalibrate my scale, because my scale is off. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. We need to constantly recalibrate ourselves. That's why it's not enough for us to be saved back when, and I can recite to you exactly when and how and with whom I got saved. That's wonderful, that's good, that's important, that's necessary, but it's not enough. We live in the kingdom of man, the kingdom of the earth, which is the kingdom of decay. We need to constantly recalibrate ourselves. The Bible said in closing, in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. There is no knowledge or language where their voice is not heard. Going forward to verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. There it is. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Because we live in the kingdom of man, we need to, which is the kingdom of decay, we need to constantly recalibrate. We need to understand, where are we? I think I smell one way, but where am I really? We read the opening scripture where the Lord had instructed the Israelites to do one thing. If they did that thing right, it was a pleasing aroma to the Lord, that sacrifice. That was in Exodus. And then we read another passage in Exodus where the Lord told them to do one thing with the manna and do it this way, and the Israelites did it another way, and that became a smell. Are you a pleasing aroma, or are you a smell in the nostrils of God? You need to recalibrate yourself on a daily basis. Compare yourself with this standard and see where do you stack up, and then take the corrective action to make sure that your weight, your smell is correct in Jesus' name. And then, and only then, will you be the pleasing aroma that God wants you to be. 1, 2, 3.
Jubilee!